that guy ain't shit. Sorry ass motherfucker got nothing on me, right? Nothing.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
I am Big Kev.
Why do they call you Big Kev?
Ooh. I am OG.
Oh look, he's got a billion toys.
I am PK.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
OG's not actually racist against many people.
There is no racial bigotry here. Here you are all equally worthless.
I'm not really angry all the time.
This is Kevin destroying the Toy Beast Legends box set.
Stupid fucking garbage! Why?
You know how I know that you're gay?
How? Because you're gay and you can tell who other gay people are?
Curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal.
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
PK, what is this musical selection you've provided for us?
Yeah, a little journey down to the Pacific Rim.
Oh,
nice.
That.
Courtesy of Ramin Djawadi.
That again.
That's good, because it's in the news this week. So it all ties in so nicely. Yippee.
I'm trying to piece these things together.
It's like it's produced.
Ooh.
Almost.
You know,
almost.
It's been a while, like 9 years.
It's longer than 9 years, huh?
It's longer.
I think we're in the 10th, sir. In the 10th.
In the 10th, yes.
Right. Not completed.
Not yet completed.
Not yet completed.
We needed a producer one day.
Yeah.
You know, step up the game or whatnot.
Yeah. And then we got PK.
That's right.
And he was lovely.
He is indeed
lovely. He was indeed. Hey, I heard you demothballed that flick thing that you do.
Yes, we did. And in the process, I was so excited to get that thing out there that I didn't extend my extreme gratitude to you folks for letting me do that. So here now I'm in person. Thank you guys. That was a lot of
sure.
fun.
Absolutely.
I think we'll be doing more of that down the line. Maybe next week.
I was going to say well, since you brought it up, two things. First, the feedback to Flick was very good and very positive. So awesome on you and your lovely missus for putting that show for us.
Thank you.
And yes, there is no show next week. Unless there is a Flick, in which case there might be a Flick next week. But in case you don't know by now, because you're living under a rock,
right?
New York Comic Con is, well, by the time you're listening to this, a week away.
Yeah.
Kicks off in 1 week.
And there's things that start actually a week from today, like the Hasbro preview event.
There's things that start on Monday, I think.
That's
super
true.
Week or whatever kicks off.
Yeah.
And there's all sorts of events. The Hasbro night is next Wednesday, which I think we talked a little bit about last week.
Yes.
And the con itself kicks off Thursday at 0 o'clock.
I don't know.
Yeah, Thursday's weird. It's like a half day. It's like 2 to 7
something
or something on
Doesn't
Thursday.
Doesn't matter. We're still going in at dawn.
We'll be there early. We always are. We have setup to do.
We got it. We got to be there at dawn, though.
We
got to get the special parking.
That's right.
Because we don't have special parking. Listen, it's a problem.
Listen, there's lots of reasons to get there at dawn. Last year, we were there.
Uh-huh.
We set up.
Yes.
I had breakfast, and then I slept in the booth.
Yeah, on the floor.
On the floor.
Was that last year that I fell asleep on the floor in front of the booth?
That was 2 years
ago. 2 years ago.
That
okay,
you fell asleep in the booth on the floor. Yeah. No one slept the year of Catch It Corner because, you know, Catch It.
Because you were afraid what you'd wake up covered in.
but yeah, so we get there early on Thursday.
That was a soft, lovely carpet. That's why I fell
asleep. I thought you were
right
going to say shit. So I'm glad you went with carpet.
Well, if I had said soft, lovely, wet, then you might have gone that direction.
So yes, booth 129.
I've not
said that enough.
That's your destination for New York Comic Con.
That's right. go to the My Show Planner on the New York Comic Con website or in the New York Comic Con app.
Uh-huh.
And check off, put us on your itinerary. You know, that actually helps
with the
show. It helps with our exposure,
right,
and it helps with the overall feedback. And we'd like to let the con know that, you know, you're coming to see us.
Yeah.
That we're one of the highlights
of your experience
of that event for you.
Yeah.
So there you go.
All good.
All those things are good. I think we probably have a phone call we can go to.
Yeah,
that's
let's
a follow
do that.
Up to last week. Yes.
Yes. Let's hear that. Or fucking not. Well, let's talk about something else while we're
all right.
This shit gets figured out.
And right.
Oh, here we go. Hey, you know, by the way, I do have a soundbite that does work.
Well, I'd love to stay in chat, but you're a total bitch.
Don't think I didn't listen last week, you fucker. Let's hear this voicemail.
Hey, this is Doofus from the top of the show. Thanks for the name. When I went to save as, it said there was no episode. Thank you.
Yeah, well, aptly named Doofus. Thousands of people download this show every week. We can't figure out why you can't do it.
And let's say, for the sake of argument, that for some reason he legit had a problem. I don't think that he did. I think he's living up to his moniker.
Right.
And, you know, that's fine. And look, Doofus, thank you. We love you. You're a new character on the show. Embrace it.
Yeah. And of course, you want to, if you would like to hear yourself called a silly name on our program, give us a call at the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
And you may hear yourself on an upcoming episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
One of the next five random characters on the show will be nicknamed Schmuck. Will it be you?
It could be you.
But here's the thing to people calling in with concerns or complaints,
yes,
or issues that they might be having with the show or the website. Be a bit more specific in your phone call.
Yeah.
Because really, Doofus came more about how you presented your issue,
right,
than less about that you had an issue.
Didn't work. Didn't work. Didn't work for me.
So
more specific. Did not work for me again.
There you go.
I'm a tad punchy today.
You're ornery.
Yes.
All right. Well,
oh boy.
With that being said, this is episode 389 of Big Kev's Geek Stuff. And we're calling this one The Road to New York Comic Con.
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
So there it is.
The Road to New York Comic Con 2015. That's how you separate it from previous Road to Comic Con shows.
There you go. Nice. So in honor of our opening music, we might as well get into the news. And
yeah,
we could talk a little bit about Pacific Rim. Yeah?
Yeah.
We didn't bring it up last week because, you know, sometimes stories don't make the cut when the clock is a ticking.
Sure. Any story about Pacific Rim would not make it. It would be the first one to get cut.
No, that's not true. I loved that movie. It was a fantastic film. It was a fantastic film.
We're two to one on this one, I guess.
Look, it
imagine that.
As far as I am concerned, hey, look,
I'm the evil. Imagine that.
No, you're not the evil. But as far as I'm concerned, I think that it was a good genre film that didn't involve characters we had already seen a million times before.
Yep.
He didn't just try to reinvent Godzilla.
It did exactly right?
It was robots versus monsters.
Exactly.
That's nothing more and
all
nothing
you needed.
Less. Exactly.
And it did it masterfully.
So with that being
sequels
said.
Moving forward, yeah?
Right. So last week we heard that it had been potentially canceled.
Right.
And Guillermo came out and was like, no, I still have hope, he said. And, you know, Guillermo says he still has hope about Hellboy 3. So.
Everybody wants that.
I'm not saying they don't. But this week, Legendary did confirm that, no, it has not been canceled. It has been pushed back. So we're looking at closer to 2018, I think, now, and not 2017 for the release of the film. But they are moving forward with it. They are dedicated to making the film happen.
Well, Pitch Perfect 3 needed a slot, sir.
Is that what it was? Was it Pitch Perfect 3?
Yes, it was.
All right. All right.
Pitch Perfect 3.
All right.
What Trump's Pacific Rim 2.
Why, I don't know. I don't know. What else do you got? You guys want to talk about TV, movies? You have something, yeah?
I got this one here.
Oh.
I'm a fan of Powers, the books. I love the books. I have yet to watch the TV show that has been on PlayStation.
This is breaking news.
Breaking news, right. We literally just saw this before we hit record.
Breaking news.
So some casting has happened for the next season.
Okay.
I'm going to read for you the casting, the notice, the description of the character. Super Shock is who we're talking about, is the character. The ultimate power for whom the term superhero was coined. A perfect physical specimen with an unparalleled presence that catapulted him to global fame. After retiring at the height of his career under mysterious circumstances and disappearing from public view, he emerges for the first time in 40 years after the death of Retro Girl. So that perfect, perfect human
hold
specimen.
Hold on, everybody.
Wait, I got it.
Strap in.
Fasten your seatbelts.
No, hold on. So the person that they cast, I'm going to just say this before you say the name. The person they cast is more like Mr. Incredible from the beginning of the film.
Go on, say it.
That perfect physical specimen with an unparalleled presence.
Wait, hold on. Wait, don't say it. Do we have some kind of soundbite that we can play?
What do I got?
Immense laughter. I'm just saying we should cue that up.
Let's see. Let me, we'll get everybody excited. How about that? And that actor is Michael Madsen.
Michael Madsen.
Now look, I like Michael Madsen.
Oh well, yeah,
I got a problem with Michael Madsen. He's not the perfect human specimen of anything.
No,
not remotely.
And let me ask a question. John Hamm is no longer working because Mad Men is over, but they got Michael Madsen. What?
John Hamm is too busy filming the second season of The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
As well, he should be, but that's not the point. Wow. Holy shit.
Yeah, so I might not be rushing to check out Powers at this point anymore. I don't.
Has Michael Madsen ever been the perfect human specimen? He always
negative, sir.
With no, you know, I like him. I love him as an actor, but he's always kind of struck me as a hot mess.
Yeah.
Like, as far as his physical.
Yeah, everything. Yeah.
Way he carries himself. Uh-huh.
All I can see is him in Donnie Brasco. That's all. It's John, whatever he was.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Somebody black.
But anyway. So, all right. Well.
So, yeah, that's Sonny, the Powers
Sonny,
news.
Sonny Black.
Sure.
And, I'll continue Sonny to be on Red. The fence about that one.
Well, let's stick with some TV shows then.
Okay.
All right.
Personal update. I did not catch the new episodes of Blind Spot or Minority Report this week. I think we talked about the first episodes last week, though.
Yes. I didn't check out Blind Spot or Minority Report. I have them both to check out. I did, however, see the season premiere of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I totally forgot that it was on until this morning. And I saw people talking about it. And I was like, oops. Missed that one.
Kevin and I are the ones that caught that?
Yeah.
And you're in the dark on this
one? Yeah. I'll have to watch it tonight.
You got to – and Muppets, too, I suggest.
I'm only one episode behind on Muppets. Yeah. I saw the first one.
I didn't see the one yet.
I'm loving it right out of the gate. And haters be damned. There's a whole lot of complaining for no reason.
Pepe on there?
Pepe is all over it.
Okay. Then I'm all right.
The people who are – and has a couple of – he's got a couple of good one-liners. Zingers. In the first episode. The people who are complaining, actually, Fozzie has, I think, one of the funniest lines in the pilot episode. It's about his classified ad.
Yes.
I'm not going to ruin it, but.
Yes.
I think it's great. I mean, I think it's really close to what Jim Henson would want, honestly.
I agree.
Jim Henson would want to be alive.
Well, there's that.
That's the number one thing. But the second thing, this is the iteration in one of the Muppets. But they've always had an adult tone. I don't know where everybody thinks they've always been a kid show. The Sesame Street Muppets, certainly. But they've always had an adult tone. Scooter telling Paul Simon about 50 Ways to Love Your Lever. Come on!
And honestly, I think that even the adult stuff, and I'm doing the air quotes, I think even the adult stuff in this episode is far enough adult where it is no impact whatsoever on those who don't get it.
Right.
Those who get it appreciate it. Those who don't get it just... It's part of the show, and that's it.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it's exactly where they would have been evolved to be. And listen, the Muppets at this point now, our nostalgia from when we grew up is what's being mined for all the revisitations and remakes and reboots of everything.
Sure.
So the Muppets are ripe for that. And honestly, there are so many things out there vying for children's attention, Henson Studios does not need to push the Muppets in their direction and try and pull that audience. There's enough out there already. They've got a built-in great audience with us, with our generation. We're the target audience. Enjoy it.
Yep.
Just sit back and enjoy it and laugh, for God's sake. Find joy and laugh.
Before we get to S.H.I.E.L.D., because I want you to give a non-spoilery review of S.H.I.E.L.D., but... I checked out Scream Queens as well, the first episode of Scream Queens.
Oh, yeah.
Queens.
How was that?
I'm hearing interesting things about
it. You know what?
Campy.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you go in knowing exactly what it is to expect, it's actually very good. But that being said, it's terrible. If that makes sense.
But purposefully.
Like, the camp is so high. It's almost Army of Darkness. Like,
wow.
It's pretty campy. It's worse than Scream, because I think Scream was really campy but still kind of was horror. This is like camp.
Now, what's the premise of this? Is it a reality show thing trying to find the next Scream Queen? Or
it's
scripted?
It's a drama horror-omedy.
Wow. Drahority.
There you go. Drahority.
Yeah, I got nothing.
It's you have to see it. But it if you go in expecting it to be campy, I think you'll actually appreciate it.
Okay.
So, S.H.I.E.L.D., you both watched it. I did not. I know some other people did not probably.
Non-spoilery review. I
good, bad.
I'm on board.
Okay.
I think it seems to me like this has got a little bit – they've darkened up a little bit. Like it's been a very fluffy show up to this point, but I think they're getting a little more of an edge.
Yeah, especially the end.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
So it's the intensity's up. Coulson's intensity is up in a lot of different ways. He's a little less. He's got his zingers, but he's a little more stern.
I'd say a little less handy.
Yes, a little less handy around the house. Yeah. But it's I dig it. I'm on board.
All right.
To see where it goes.
And you.
Yeah. I would agree. I would agree with what PK said.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to the season. I know the big thing this season is the Inhumans, or some lead up to the Inhumans.
Slow, meandering deletion of the X-Men from the Marvel canon.
Well,
scrub.
Well, we talked about that last week, too. Yep. And look, you know what? Marvel's, look, Disney's going to do what Disney is going to do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's their prerogative to do it. Do it.
And made further clear in this episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. that little by little we're going to say farewell to the X-Men and introduce our own little thing.
Here's an easy way for us to do this in our universe. Boom.
All right. While we're talking about Marvel, we might as well briefly mention that there was a new trailer. It's not really a trailer. I guess it's more of a teaser for Jessica Jones that came out this week with just her. Did you see it? Her in the bed sleeping and she crushes the alarm clock.
Amazing.
I mean, it's a teaser. It's a teaser. Yeah. Again, it's giving nothing away, so my comment is I think it's a mistake. Normally, I'm on board with Marvel's campaigns and how they handle their marketing. But I think Jessica Jones, I'm concerned that Jessica Jones is even less known than Ant-Man is, right? And they still haven't given people who are on the fence about it a pretty good reason to watch. Look, anybody that's invested in the Marvel Universe is going to watch it on that alone, right? You want to know how she fits into the big picture. But anybody that's on the fence, they still haven't quite given you enough.
You're not going to pull the curious right now. Right. Or somebody just happens to see the trailer and go, oh, what is that? I don't know what the fuck that is.
They need to give us a full, proper trailer.
Right. I know absolutely nothing about it. I know nothing about Jessica Jones and nothing that they've given advised me of anything.
And it's a month and a half.
What to expect.
It's a month and a half away. The show premieres in November, so middle of November, so maybe two months away. No, about a month and a half, right? Tomorrow's the first, I think. So yeah, they need to give us something soon. I mean, it's Netflix, so they have, it's going to air whether or not, but they got to give us something soon, I would think. So we'll see how that goes. Unless they're counting on word of mouth, which they might as well too. Enough people watch it, like it, and spread it. It's not like it has a limited run at the box office. It's there for as long as Netflix keeps it there. So, let's talk about nostalgia a little bit since we brought that up. When we were talking about the Muppets earlier.
Well, in my day.
And your day. You walked uphill both ways to school barefoot?
Yes.
Killed a grizzly bear with a loose leaf. I'm not doing Cosby lines anymore, by the way. That's it.
You're done?
I'm drawing the line because that is a Cosby line. I heard some other people doing them the other day too. Like the same thing, walking to school uphill. And I'm just like, yo, know, if we're gonna exercise him, then let's do it. Because, you know, I get those lines are funny and all that, but, you know, with all the protests and everything else, you people got to pick a side here.
Hey, well, hey, you brought all those jokes into this podcast.
You're right.
You can take them out.
That's
listen,
right.
Listen, I'm separating the artist.
I see what you did there.
I'm separating the artist from the artwork. The artwork is his comedy. The artist is a roofie raping fucker.
Wow. Oh, my God. Woke.
Just saying.
It's not, there you have it. It wasn't roofies.
It was
quaaludes.
My bad. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
I have to say allegedly.
Points for the alliteration, though.
All right. All right. Let's talk about Ghostbusters very quickly, only because we've mentioned it every fucking week for the last 2 months.
Who's in it now?
Sigourney Weaver has a cameo in the film as well.
Of course she does.
Some people...
That's the whole cast now.
Yeah.
With the exception of Rick Moranis.
Some are losing their shit over this.
Some people, Nerdist, are posting shitty articles about these things. They're misleading articles with misleading headlines. And if you read just the article or glance quickly at the headline, the impression that you're giving is that, you know, these characters are coming back as cameos of their character, and that's just not the case. So, you know, I like Nerdist for the most part. I have no beef, but
no, they always
just
put,
pay attention to
they
your
put
shit.
One line. They put one line in there that justifies what they do, and we can't confirm whether it's the character from the
original. I read the Sigourney Weaver article, and there's no confirm. It's just she's going to cameo in the film, and there was something else about you know, what do you think about Dana? And it's like, she's not fucking Dana. She's not Zool. It's Sigourney Weaver playing someone in the film, just like Bill Murray is playing someone in the film, just like Dan Aykroyd, just
everybody,
like
everybody, Ernie Hudson.
Yeah.
They're all there to tip the hat to the original, and that's it.
Rick Moranis is the only one they haven't gotten yet.
But
you can't get the dead
until John Noble shows up and connects us with an alternate reality.
There you go.
Yeah.
Da-dun-da.
They're going to holograph him.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hologram him.
Holograph him.
All right, let's talk Alien. Did you see the news this week from Ridley Scott?
Actually, that was the only article that I did not see.
So, apparently the next film is, so Prometheus 2 is now going to be called Alien Paradise Lost, which is not knocking out the next Alien film, Alien 5, off the pedestal. Alien 5 is still happening with Neil Blomkamp.
Yes,
right.
And Alien 5 actually kills everything after Aliens.
We think.
No, they said it.
I thought that was rumor.
No, that's Hicks and everybody is still there and alive. And that means three did not have, which is a shame. They should have went from three because three was at least good.
So Ridley Scott, yeah. Alien Paradise Lost, apparently it's going to give us further insight into the xenomorphs, why they were created, pretty much as the antithesis, is that the right word? To the humans that were also created. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I liked Prometheus.
So we're looking at essentially three new films in the coming years in the Alien genre.
What's the third one?
Well, I'm counting Prometheus because that fits at least within that universe.
So, yes, Prometheus would be the first one and then two new ones in the coming years.
Gotcha. Damn.
So, well, I mean,
so the ACU we have going along here.
I didn't hate Prometheus.
Neither did I.
I like Prometheus. So I
hated moments of Prometheus, but as a film overall, I don't get why people are so angry.
Alien 4?
It was Resurrection.
Was awful.
Was the really bad
that
one.
That was the really
that
bad
That was the prison one?
No, that was three.
No, that one was all right.
I loved the third one.
Yeah.
Four. I thought the third
one. Was four where she had birthed the half baby thing? Yeah. No, that was a piece of garbage.
I loved the third one because it was such a full departure from the rest of them, and it was just like really, really well done. I'm really such a big fan.
Joss had a hand in writing that, didn't he?
He did.
The third one?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Alrighty then.
I know it was a lot of studio meddling with that, so we didn't get a full Joss production, but
which is fine. It was still a good flick. Yeah. Four, however, was a piece of shit.
Yes, four was a hot garbage. Is this nostalgia? Do we need this? Danny Boyle has confirmed that he's going to start filming the Trainspotting sequel in the summer of 2016 for a 2017 release.
Yes, he got everybody back. That's what he was trying to do, is make sure that he could clear schedules.
I just don't know that we need to revisit Trainspotting.
Why not?
I don't know.
Are you not a fan of Trainspotting?
No, actually, so Trainspotting for me is one of those movies where there's only a handful of movies that fall into this category where I really can only watch like once, maybe twice, and then I have to like really, really, really be in the right mindset to ever go back and watch again.
Right.
So yeah, that's a one and done for me too.
Right. You know, so it's not that I didn't like it. I think it's a great film, right?
Definitely.
And I think it's brilliant and it was fantastic. I just don't know that I personally need to revisit that universe. It wasn't
Boyle and Aronofsky seem to fall in that category for me with relative frequency. Aronofsky, Requiem for a Dream, I never need to see that again.
No.
It's a phenomenal movie. It's fantastic, but one and done. Too heavy.
One of the only other films for me that falls into that category, and I couldn't tell you who the director is, but Dancer in the Dark.
Oh, it's Von Trier.
I loved it.
Yeah, he's a fucking freak.
That man, there's no better director to convey misery than Lars Von Trier.
I loved that movie. Saw it in the theater. I think I saw it with you. Me, you, Infinity, I think, saw it together.
Really?
How about that? I saw it in the theater. I absolutely loved it. I own it on DVD.
Okay.
Because when it came out, I was like, I should have this in my library, right? That was my thought. I should have this in my library. I've never opened the DVD, and I have no interest in going back and watching it.
I got Bjork in it.
Yeah, I kind of want to own it.
Bjork!
But I have no interest in ever seeing it again. It's so depressing.
Yep. Like Graveyard of the Bjork, Fireflies.
Bjork. Just yeah. No, I see, but Graveyard of the Fireflies, I think I could revisit. But
tough,
but no.
It's a tough one.
Mm. All right. I have a couple more things. Do we have another voicemail that we want to hit on, or do we want to take our first
you guys,
break?
Tell me. We got Sea Monkey in the mix, and we got our buddy from Cleveland.
Pick one of them. Go for it.
I don't know. Do the Sea Monkey.
All right, let's do that.
Hey, guys. Frank, it's SeaMonkey67 on Twitter here. Just wanted to call to see what you guys thought of the new Star Trek Beyond movie that's being made. I know Big Kev constantly voices his opinion about the last Star Trek, let's just call it ripoff, because, yeah, I kind of felt the same way. And if you think they're going to go in a different direction, since they got a different director, you know, Bob Orsi was working on it, and he's not. And I hear Simon Pegg's involved with it now as more of a creative aspect of it. Anyway, just want to hear you guys think about that. Until next time, bye.
Horseshit is what I called it.
There you go.
I don't believe I called it ripoff. It wasn't ripping anything off. It was just garbage.
I know you two differ on this one. So.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We do, but that's fine.
Agree to disagree.
So, I mean...
No, we just disagree. There's no agreement.
So, addressing his question?
Who knows? Because we don't know a goddamn thing about it at this point.
It's very... It's way tight under wraps. I know Peg is writing the thing. Or has written, I guess,
some
with
sort of... Yeah, he's much more involved now than he was before, which is good because... At least Simon's a real fan, and so there's at least a chance that we'll get some sort of corrective movement after that last piece of shit. But I at this point, it's hard to comment on because we don't know a thing. I mean, we don't even have anything to speculate about, you know?
I hear you.
I think Idris Elba's in it, right?
Idris Elba is in – Idris Elba.
Idris Elba. Idris Elba is what I thought you said.
He's playing James
His
Bond.
His elbow and the rest of them.
And yeah.
Did you say he's playing James Bond in the Star Trek movie?
Officer Bond here.
Officer Bond. So yeah, I think the most interesting thing about it is the directorial change behind it. Like we've J.J. Abrams is no longer behind it, which I'm sure is exciting lots of people.
Sure.
Especially those that want to complain about lens flare all the time.
That's
they don't
paramount.
Have that anymore.
That's paramount.
But Justin Lin is the director that's taken it over, and his pedigree right now really is he's directed several Fast and Furious films.
Ooh.
That's his big deal, and ultra successful films, and certainly very exciting and action packed.
But
and
how
so
does
on.
His experience directing a Fast and Furious translate to Star Trek?
Exactly.
That's the concern.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's
all going to be on the ground.
No idea what to expect. None.
All on the ground.
That Enterprise is going to be racing shit, yo. So there you go.
So this is
there you go.
Star Trek Tokyo Drift.
The whole movie is just going to be the Enterprise racing a bird of prey
and just kicking the tail out as it makes turns.
That's
just
it. So there you go. All right.
Break time.
I think it's time for our first break. We do have a game stuff coming up during the break.
Ooh.
And we'll be back in a few short moments.
Yes, and we'll be right back with this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 389. Right? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Which we're calling The Road to Comic-Con, New York Comic-Con, right. 2015.
Be specific.
Sorry, I'm just like getting stuff from people on Twitter about these Tony Hawk streams. Coke Logic on Twitter says, a quote from the Twitch streamer I'm watching play Tony Hawk. This is like a preview to get you guys hype.
Man, I love that hype.
It's time to get hype.
Let's get hype, y'all.
Ahoy, ahoy, and welcome to Game Stuff. I'm your host, Coke Logic. Tony Hawk 2, 3, and 4 are amongst some of the best games ever made. And while this will be the 10th game released, in an effort to show the series is returning to form, Activision is releasing Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5. And it's the worst game in the series. Obviously no one counts downhill ride and shred. YouTube Tony Hawk 5 and you'll find a carnival of glitches and bug videos. But looking beyond the fact that there's a 7GB day one patch for a 4GB game, I am not making that up. The environments are uncreative, the frame rate is dog shit, create a character has been omitted, questionable game mechanics have been added and removed, and the entire thing looks like a PlayStation 2 game. The big comeback has been a big disappointment. The basics are there, you still try to get the 6 score and collect the letters that spell skate, but the levels you're playing in are so uninspired, it's just not fun. Most of the stages are reimagined environments from the past games, such as Bonfire Beach, which is a shittier, smaller version of Venice, or School 3, which is as dignified as when Metallica recorded Unforgiven 3. All this for a retail price of $60. Wait until it's in the bargain bin, but until then, don't play it. Call of Duty Black Ops 3 is coming to PlayStation 4 and Xbox 360 for $60 this November. Completely intact. Blops 3 is also being released on PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 for $50, without the single-player campaign. The reason being, the single-player story is so next-gen, it just wouldn't work on old hardware. Sure, everyone has said, if most people are playing the multiplayer, just sell them separately for $30. And it's a novel idea, at $30. $50, on the other hand, seems like a small discount for half the experience missing. Prepare to buy a next-gen system to play the complete version of Call of Duty Black Ops 3 this November. And finally, the developers of Amnesia have released their latest game on PC, titled Soma. It's a first-person, figure-out-what's-going-on, creepy game. I haven't tried it yet because it doesn't increase my light level in Destiny, but I look forward to checking it out soon. I'm a 304 hunter, by the way. Destiny is so good. This is Coke Logic signing off for Game Stuff.
The Millennium Falcon. A one-to-one replica of the original Empire Strikes Back movie prop. Working lights and stunning interior detail. Complete with a moving ramp. Build the Millennium Falcon step by step with your comprehensive build guides, die-cast metal, and highly detailed resin parts. Call now or go online to buildmillenniumfalcon.com and get started today.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 389, and we're calling this one The Road to New York Comic Con 2015, hashtag NYCC 2015.
Oh, yeah?
You have to. Hashtag NYCC 129.
Oh, yeah. That's nice. We can do that.
That's one. The one that I use.
Hashtag changing the game over there. Nice.
Hashtag why don't you give the following phone number a call.
Hashtag 877-544-6779.
I don't think they should put hashtag in
Maybe
front
don't
of
put that. The hashtag in front of
it. No. But that is the number for you to get started with the Build Millennium Falcon.
Yep.
Incredible Star Wars piece from our friends over at buildmillenniumfalcon.com. You go check them out. I'm telling you, it's the best Star Wars idea slash product that I've seen in quite some time.
And it's amazing.
It is amazing.
And if you're gonna pick one, if you have to pick one Star Wars thing to collect,
this is it. Absolutely.
So buildmillenniumfalcon.com, check them out. The link is also on the website. The commercial is there. Give them a call at the number that PK just mentioned, and get your subscription going.
What was that number again, PK?
877-544-6779. Righto.
And before we move into more news, what would an episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff be without a phone call from Cleveland?
Hey, guys. It's Cleveland, at CLE Steven on Twitter, and at CLE Geek on Instagram. I just was able to finish the show. Unfortunately, my schedule has been kind of hectic, so I just heard the second half of the show. Marvel Collector Core Box. I've had it since the first month, and I definitely love it. You don't learn what the exclusives are until the box actually comes to you or it's leaked elsewhere. And inevitably, it's always leaked before you get it because there's people that always get it within a day or two of them shipping out. I believe they ship out of Texas for the most part. But the Smuggler's Bounty Box I will be getting. Definitely excited to see what they do there. So far with the Collector's Core boxes, they've had exclusives. They've had Miles Morales Spider-Man. They've had Lady Thor. So it's been typically new characters or, like OG said, somewhat of a variation of a existing character, so it'll be interesting to see what they do for the Star Wars box. Also, did want to let you know, Loot Crate this month also has a kind of a cool theme. It's like a Doctor Who, Back to the Future kind of theme, and there's supposed to be an exclusive pop in this month as well, and I will be getting that. That was just announced as well. So I just want to let you guys know that. Sorry for so many phone calls, but you guys said you want it short and sweet, and so there you go. Take care.
So there you go.
So the answer to OG's question, what's a show like without a phone call from Cleveland? It's a good one.
No, come on. Cleveland left multiple messages this week.
That's
but,
right.
But we picked this one to address because it was pretty relevant to what we had talked about last week.
And most timely as well. And we want to thank everybody. You know, we can't use all the phone calls that we get all the time, but that doesn't mean that should stop you from calling the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
And also, I want to say that that doesn't mean that we won't go back to a call that we don't play at some point down the road.
Oh,
we kind of hold on to these.
Archived.
So, you know, at some point, if, you know, if something reclicks with something we're going to talk about or, you know, we just want to address it, we will.
Right.
So
the next time there's a Force Friday, we can use Cleveland's call.
Come on. Don't be nasty.
I'm not.
But listen.
Cleveland has a sense of humor.
He sure does. He lives in Cleveland.
So now he's talking about these Marvel Collector's Core boxes.
Yes.
And right.
My question is, this might be the thing. I have an issue with this particular marketing thing. Is this just another one of those like shit boxes in the mail? Just box of random shit?
It is Loot Crate.
It is like Loot Crate and Nerd Block.
Loot Crate.
Loot Crate. The only difference with these are that these are specifically put out by Funko. So you know that you're going to get Funko-related product. And if you're a Funko collector, it's okay because you kind of know what you're getting. And, of course, last week we talked about the Star Wars box that they're starting up in November, the Smuggler's Bounty or something like that.
Yeah, I think it's Smuggler's Bounty.
But is this effectively, you know, Funko shit that they just couldn't get rid of?
No,
they'll pepper it with one cool –
that's actually a brilliant idea.
So,
I get from most of these kinds of crates.
A lot of times that's what you see in some of those other blocks.
Right? Right. Nerd Block and et cetera.
No,
like it's the same – Yeah.
So for the collector's blocks that Funko does, they create exclusives specifically for every block that they put out that are only available on the block. Mm. And then some of the other merchandise is stuff that has been available elsewhere, like T-shirts and other pops and other like small collectibles and stuff like that. But the two main pieces you get in every box are exclusive to the box. They're not just warehouse chokers. So,
interesting.
Look, they're not for everybody. I mean, I actually think I'm going to get on board with the Star Wars box because, to be quite honest with you, I know that anything that I don't like personally or that I don't want for my personal collection, I got a 4-year-old. Be like fucking Christmas every other month. I'll be, you know, be champion.
4-year-old? Yeah, you got a 34-year-old right here who might want a shot at some of the stuff in that box.
I need a 34-year-old who's collecting toys, so.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I see what you're doing. I didn't say I was giving up everything. I just said most.
You really perked up at the idea of my take on a shit box too. By the way, are we going to start distributing Big Kev boxes?
I wonder. I'm wondering if the Big Kev
we stumble on something here.
Oh my God! Could you imagine a Big Kev Geek Stuff subscription box, one a quarter, filled with just random stuff from our personal collection? That would be awesome. Limited to a certain number of boxes and like $20 a box.
First come, first serve. Wow. Cleveland, would you be on board with we have to have a clever name for it too. It can't be like Loot Crate or Bot. We got to have like synonym.
Big Kev Ship Stuff. It sells itself.
Big Kev's Spare Stuff. Big Kev's
All right. So anyway, Cleveland actually had a really nice tie into one of our other stores that I wanted to get to.
Yes.
He mentioned Back to the Future in that most recent Loot Crate box. So that ties into something I wanted to bring up.
Oh, no.
Coming out on October 20th.
This was sad.
I'm all about this for a couple of reasons.
You don't already own it.
And you know what? I understand people who already own it that don't want to go down this path. So I do understand that point of view. What we're talking about is on October 20th, they're going to be releasing a new Back to the Future Blu-ray set.
Uh-huh.
And what is this? It's for the 30th anniversary. So they did a 25th anniversary five years ago.
Yeah.
What's really selling me on this, though, is there is a brand new short called Doc Brown Saves the World.
No.
Starring Christopher Lloyd as Doc Brown.
He looks older than his old self in the original movie. Did you see the clip from that?
He looks like he actually aged.
I could barely understand what he was saying.
No, I think he's fine. I actually still like Christopher Lloyd. Whenever he pops up in anything, I still like him.
I'm not saying that I don't like Christopher Lloyd, but man,
listen, if this was a Taxi box set,
I'm just saying he looked bad.
No, I think he looks great. I think you're
exaggerating the badness. He's old. He's old. Of course, he's aged. He looks fine.
So the 85 that movie? So that's 30 years ago.
He looks
right?
A little bit more like Rick.
Wasn't he
out of Rick and Morty?
Wasn't he 50?
He doesn't. Oh my god! If he actually acted like Rick, that could be brilliant. So of course, in the box set, it's Back to the Futures 1, 2, and 3. The bonus disc with 2 hours of bonus content, which we've seen before. The digital and ultraviolet, which who cares at this point?
Collectible and the cartoon series. Cartoon series?
No, I don't think they have cartoon series.
That's too bad because that would almost make it worth getting if you had the complete Back to the Future. That included the awful cartoon series.
Back to the Future.
Cinematics from the video game.
Here you go. Back to the Future, the animated series, 2 episodes from the 1991 series they're putting in there.
2 episodes?
2 episodes.
Oh. They couldn't
all that aired?
I was going to say, they couldn't pop for the other 7?
Now, PK, since you have the other set, any of these other features, do you know were they on the other set? Tales from the Future, the 6-part documentary?
Oh, boy. I have no idea, and I don't have it in front of me. I should have brought it, actually, because I knew we were going to talk about this.
Sorry. 8 archival featurettes, behind-the-scenes footage, music videos, audio commentaries.
There's a ton of
Back to the Future, The Ride, I'm intrigued by, too.
I think The Ride is on there. That sounds familiar.
I loved The Ride. That was one of my favorite things to do when I used to go to Universal.
It was a great ride.
It was a great ride. When that thing opened, that was the best simulator on the market.
Yep.
So, look, I'm on board for the Doc Brown.
I'm on board with them putting out another set, whatever. I'm pissed at the exclusivity because I already own it. So it's like, I get it. Like every 20 minutes, there's a new Blade Runner release that's out there.
Of course.
I get it. I understand, but you know why the exclusivity on this new short?
Because without that, what's the selling point to this set?
Well, you don't own it.
Yeah, but
you don't own Back to the Future on Blu-ray, so you're going to buy that to have it finally.
But I could just buy the 25th anniversary set, which is not out of print, I don't think.
And it's also...
That's not available anymore.
Oh, no?
Yeah, but it's also like a nickel on Amazon.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's hard to get. It didn't go back in the vault.
I don't know.
Look,
I'm pissed at the double dip.
Of course, and I get that. But
adding something like that without giving me a shot to see it, without buying a whole new set that I don't need.
We all know that if you really want to see the shorts, you'll maybe see the shorts like 2 days after the DVD.
But that's the frustrating
box.
Thing. Why? They're opening themselves up.
Look, we all know they'll be on YouTube or other sources.
You know what? Here's what I would venture. I already own the other set. I wouldn't be opposed. Maybe I'd buy the short for a buck or two.
You know what? With iTunes and stuff like that now, you never know.
I love my Apple TV. I just bought Mr. Show across the board for pennies.
You know
on iTunes. I love that thing.
You know
so I'd buy a short for a couple, $2-3.
That's an interesting conversation for another episode.
Yeah.
Let's table that for another episode. That's an interesting conversation.
It is on the table.
All right. Let's move on to some other things
sur
in the news,
la table.
We got a new look, or we got our final look before the premiere next week of Jay Garrick in his Flash costume in the upcoming season of The Flash. Other than the fact that it's darker, which they constantly do on the show, it looks pretty spot on. I mean, it's a great interpretation for that universe of his costume, so I'm pretty excited for that. Both of those shows come back next week, Arrow and The Flash. And iZombie is also back next week to round out the CW shows.
You Zombie.
Jason Momoa in an interview talking about Aquaman.
Boy.
Well, there might be some bit of orange and green, Momoa hinted. A bit of respect to the prior work. But I think he is meaner now and upset. Look at what has been done to our oceans. That's his world that he has that has been polluted. Badass
right.
Aquaman.
So now he's a badass by design to match the way that he looks. So they're redesigning the character to match Jason Momoa.
I gotta say, I like Jason Momoa though. He was on an episode of Drunk History. Is it a week or two back?
He's a talented dude.
He's
dude.
Really. Yeah.
I like his Conan. I got shit on, but
I like him as an actor. I
well
really
done.
Do. Crom. All right, and the thing that nobody is waiting for. So of course it's going to Fox.
What do you got?
Fox is planning an A-Team remake series.
Wait, what?
Yep. They're bringing the A-Team back.
Remaking it.
They're remaking it.
I completely missed this.
Yeah. So they will bring back the A-Team with Tonya McKiernan, the daughter of the original series creator Stephen J. Cannell. Albert Kim from Sleepy Hollow and Nikita will script the latest adaptation of the material. Now, that being said, Nikita and Sleepy Hollow are both well-received shows. I really
That's
enjoyed
true.
Sleepy Hollow. I had to drop off just because I was just watching too much television
right.
and something had to get the axe. But I did like Sleepy Hollow.
Okay.
And, of course, the team is going to focus on special forces, blah, blah, blah. And, of course, it's going to be a mixed gender, mixed race.
Ooh.
Everybody gets a shot at the team this time around.
Okay.
I just don't think anybody cares about the fucking A-Team anymore.
But it's the new A-Team, sir.
So, yeah, and? The double A-Team. I mean,
I had a whole tirade about how I'm embracing remakes and reboots. So I'm
oh yeah,
you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
It just is what it is.
Did you see?
If I like it, I'll watch it. If I don't like it, well,
do you
watch
see
it.
The? Do you see the X-Files trailer?
I did not.
Now I'm not even a fan of the original show. I'm really not.
Yeah.
Everybody, I get shit about it for decades at
yep.
this point for just not being a fan of the original. I saw some. Some were good. I like the one-off ones better than the series one. So I get shit for that. And overall, just not a fan. That said, the trailer for the new one looks really, really good.
I'm really interested in it. And it's a limited series. It's a limited it's only a handful of episodes.
Oh, is it? Oh, I didn't hear that.
I don't believe
I thought this was a movie, but it's
it's going to
Fox. No, it's going to Fox.
Oh, okay.
It's I think it's only 8 or 10 episodes. It is not a full season order.
I did not hear that.
And I think it's meant to be a true wrap up. Now I'm sure if it's successful, they'll figure out a way to extend it. They always figure out a way to extend it. But I'm with you when it comes to X-Files. The first three, maybe four seasons of that show. How many seasons of the show? 9, I think, and then
something
two
like
movies
that.
Or some shit. The first 3 or 4 seasons of that show, where it was really kind of like serialized storytelling.
Yeah.
Or it wasn't serialized
right,
storytelling,
right.
rather. It was one off each. It was mystery
yeah.
of the week. I loved that show. But when it started getting too...
Just too serialized,
yeah.
sort of. Yeah, I get you.
I'm going to take some heat, and probably in this room for this, but I think Fringe suffered a similar fate in the middle somewhere. Fringe started off as like Monster of the Week type of show, and it was really good. It was really interesting. And then somewhere in the middle, it got really kind of full of itself and its own story. And then it wrapped up really nicely
right.
and ended really well. But
well,
it lost me in the middle.
You can fuck right off.
Yeah, I know I can. I know. I know that you embrace that show. But I watched all of Fringe, and I love John Noble. That guy is brilliant. But to me, some of the story got a little.
I hear you. I can understand how people were frustrated with that. I enjoyed it personally,
yeah.
but I can get where people would have been frustrated.
Yeah, look, I'm on board to check it out.
Just don't talk to those people.
Oh, yeah, I'll definitely check it out.
Yeah, that's right.
Damn it. Damn.
Look, you're replaceable. There have been four or five other people in that seat. You won't talk to me anymore? We'll see how that goes.
Oh, you're right.
Suddenly, we don't need the air in Studio Q.
I rule with an iron fist. No, come on. We can agree to disagree.
I don't agree with shit.
All right, fuck you. All right, with that
damn.
Being said.
So the X, so the letter X good, the letter A bad is what we determined.
Yes.
From a TV
look, A-Team might be good. I don't know. It's just one of those shows that I just don't know that I need right now in my life. That's all. Does anybody else have anything else, or can we wrap this puppy up?
I got my little idea that I was
please
throw around there. I mean, we can probably, as we wrap up, we can bullshit about
this. Do it.
It struck me. I'm a burner.
Yep.
And I, first of all, I'm not going to New York Comic Con, so I'm going to be an event called Playa del Fuego.
Okay.
So if we have listeners that are burners, seek me out. I'll be at Playa del Fuego. I hang out with Camp Tiki is our theme camp. That said, I'm a fire performer. This is a new thing for me. And I came up with the idea of, hey, you know, they make fire swords. There's poi that you swing around. There's fire staves and so on and so forth. So why couldn't we have a lightsaber hilt with a blade attached in there? And the lightsaber hilt is wicked for fire performance. And the lightsaber hilt itself's got a little switch. And you hit that switch, the igniter switch, and that sends a little spark at the bottom of the hilt and lights that sucker up when it's fueled for fire performance with a sword.
Yeah, man.
I'd want one just to light my barbecue grill with.
Right. Not just
awesome,
for fire performance,
man.
But geeks across. This would be something that would be, I think, huge. And I'm putting it out there that I know there's saber makers out there. Help me out with this. I need one of these desperately for my own self, and I'm going to put it out there. If you can put this thing together, help me out with maybe a, I don't know, cost for parts. I will pay out of pocket for your month of advertising right here on this very show.
There you go.
Yeah,
and
man.
I will send so many people your way to buy that fucking thing.
Word.
That I think it'll be worth your while. But, I mean, help me out throwing the idea. But I'm putting a challenge out there to the Saber Makers. What can you do on this front? And reach out with your ideas.
I'm telling you.
Can I ask a question? What does this have to do with pornography? Because I'm assuming that's what this music is from.
You know, like a little change of pace with some Dopapod? I figure we're talking about burners and stuff.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, get a little Jamtronica groove going.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
So don't forget, of course, you can check us out at New York Comic Con next week. If you're not going to be at PDF and you are going to be at New York Comic Con, booth 129, come and check us out. All I'm going to say is I am excited about all of our exclusives.
Yes.
We've got a couple of really cool things, but we have a piece. We have a piece that the creator is putting so much effort into that a really high-end collector is going to shit themselves over this piece. It's a Marvel piece.
Oh.
We'll tease it at the beginning of next week.
Okay.
But it's fantastic, is all I'm saying.
Okay.
Booth 129, come check us out. Come say hello. And we'll still have some t-shirts for sale. We'll have stickers and buttons and, you know, Begathon-y, raffle-y type stuff and all the normal stuff going on. Maybe you could be on the show. Hopefully we'll have a setup. At least that's the plan. You can check us out on Twitter at GeekStuffOG, at BK. GS and at KR Marlowe on Instagram, GeekStuffOG, Big Kev GS, and are you KR Marlowe?
K Robert Marlowe.
K Robert Marlowe on Instagram. And I think that's it this week. Do you guys have anything else?
No, man.
That does it for me, man.
So with that, Big Kev.
Yeah. All right, OG. So we're going to bring this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff to a groovy close. The way we end most episodes by saying, troll the respawn, Jeremy.
And on that note, we cue the music.